This is a Clearview Original.
This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine. Ryan, are you looking to boost your immune system?
I'm so ill that I fainted right before we turned the show on.
I hate to hear it, but I do think I have a solution. Introducing Mighty Muscadine, king of the superfruits.
Sounds like a superhero.
Well, these guys are practically superheroes. Every single one of their products are packed with organic polyphenol content, essential micronutrients, and I'm telling you, these grapes are just dripping with antioxidants designed to strengthen your body's defenses. It's going to help you stay resilient all year round.
And these guys have everything. They have grape juice, they have all natural energy shots, protein powders, they got seed oil, toothpaste, body lotion, shampoo. And here's the best part. You can use promo code TODAY, that's T-O-D-A-Y, to unlock exclusive savings at checkout. Again, use promo code T-O-D-A-Y at checkout to enjoy a significant discount on your purchase of Mighty Muscadine products.
And every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show. So don't miss this opportunity to supercharge your health and well-being with the incredible power of Mighty Muscadine. Visit their website now, that's MightyMuscadine.com, and experience the difference firsthand. Remember, that's promo code T-O-D-A-Y. A healthier, happier you is just a click away. With that said, let's start the show.
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinand Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find our show online at clearviewtodayshow.com. You can email us at the very same website, contact@clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you'd like to write into the show, let us know how you're enjoying it or have your questions answered live on the air, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right. We want you guys to take part in what we're doing here at the Clearview Today Show. You can keep the conversation going. You can do that by supporting the podcast. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify. Absolutely nothing less than 5 stars. Today is March 20th, which means our date the word is coming from Ephesians 3:20. It says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us."
I had this conversation with our student ministry a couple weeks ago, and I was challenging them to think about the way that they pray. Mm-hmm. because we've got great students, fantastic 6th through 12th graders, love them to pieces. But sometimes when they pray, they're very small, safe prayers.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
God, keep us safe and help us to glorify you, and all that's good.
Yep.
But I challenged them. I was like, do you believe that God is capable of doing anything that you can imagine? Mm-hmm, and everyone was like, yeah, absolutely. I was like, do you believe that God is capable of doing more than you can imagine?
Right.
Because he is greater than you. And I pointed them to this verse and they're like, yeah. I said, then pray for big things.
Yes, absolutely.
Pray for big specific things. And I shared some of the things that I was praying for our student ministry with them, and their eyes got kind of big. They're like, you're really praying that? I was like, yeah, I'm praying for that. And I'm trusting that God's going to do it because God is capable of doing even more than we think to ask. Mm-hmm. So the challenge for us then is to dream big, to think big, and to pray and ask God for those specific things.
We really believe that, you know, what Jesus said, you have not because you ask not.
Right.
And so we, like you said, like Ryan said, we pray real vague, broad things. God, let your will be done. Okay, fine. That's a perfectly valid prayer to pray. But one of the things that we do, especially here at Clearview Church, is that we make, like Ryan said, make our prayers big and specific.
Yeah.
God, help the Clearview Today Show touch the world. Help it to go into other nations. Yeah. Help it to bring people back to Christ. We want this show, even though it's recorded in a little small town in North Carolina, to touch the world.
Yeah.
And so people are like, well, you know, realistically, I don't think that's going to happen. But God is going to make it happen.
Right.
If we ask for it, and we do ask for it every single day.
Right.
And so that's one of the hearts behind this show. Ryan.
John.
A lot of people were writing in and saying that they liked our haiku game that we played last week.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
You guys enjoyed that, didn't you? That was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. If you didn't listen to the show, we did a game last week, or it might have been the week before, where I found 2 haikus written by professional poets, and I put one through ChatGPT, which is an online AI software, and I said, just write a haiku. That's only the instruction I gave it. This time I said, write a haiku about the wind. And I found 2 professional haikus about wind. So there's like a common theme because people wanted to see it again. So I felt like we could play it again. I'm going to read you these 3 haikus And I want you to tell me which one you think was written by AI. Just so you guys know, a haiku is a Japanese poem. It's got three lines, five syllables in the first line, seven syllables in the second line, five syllables in the last line. Here's the first one. "I think it is time," said the dandelion seed, "to take on the wind." Okay?
Okay.
Here's the second one. "Whispers in the breeze, dancing leaves in gentle sway, wind's soft melody." Here's the third. "Like the wind you run, wild, free, and fearless you move. I shall be your guard."
I'm thinking the AI-generated haiku is number two.
Ryan, you're right.
Really?
Yeah, that's it.
Write in and let us know what your thoughts on AI are. What is your experience with AI? Maybe you've used ChatGPT or something like Grammarly or some other AI source. Write in and let us know how it's working for you. 252-582-5028.
Also, we did have people send in some haikus. Maybe we did.
Okay.
Maybe we'll read them online.
Nice.
Or on air, I should say.
Very good. You can send those haikus in and we're going to play this game again.
Yeah.
Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Hey. Hey, you.
Me?
No, not you. You, listening to the Clearview Today Show. You're here right now because you love Christian talk radio, and I'm 100% down for that. But what if I told you that Clearview Church also produces original music?
That's right. At Clearview, we're more than just a church. We're a vibrant family where everyone is encouraged to worship God right where they are.
We wanted to make sure that your worship doesn't stop when you walk out the door on Sunday morning.
Our music is more accessible than ever. You can worship God in any situation, in the car, at home, in the gym, while cleaning your house. Wherever you are, we'll be right there with you.
You can check us out on Apple Music or on Spotify, anywhere digital music is consumed. We got a few singles out right now. We have an EP out as well. And right now, at this moment, actually, we are working on our first ever full-length original album. Hopefully that's going to be out sometime this coming summer.
Clearview Worship on iTunes and Spotify is your 24/7 place for inspiration and worship. Follow us today and let God's message of hope, love, and faith be a guiding light in your life.
Amen. Let's hop back into the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right. Happy Wednesday, my dudes. We are here with Dr. Abadan Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism. Dr. Shah, one of the segments that we had a couple of weeks ago really blew up. People really liked this game. We played it again with Ryan on the intro. Wanted to play it with you. I've got three haikus for you, three poems of Japanese origin. two of them are written by professional poets. One of them was written by AI in a matter of like 0.3 seconds. I'm going to give you all three haikus.
Okay.
I want you to just tell me which one you think is the AI.
Right.
First haiku. "I think it is time," said the dandelion seed, "to take on the wind." Second haiku. "Whispers in the breeze, dancing leaves in gentle sway, wind's soft melody." Haiku number three. "Like the wind you run, wild, free, and fearless you move, I shall be your guard."
The middle one?
Yeah, it's the middle one.
Well
the
done.
Listeners at home already knew, but yeah,
well
it's the middle
done.
One.
Wow.
What clued you in?
It was just like, huh? It's trying. That's the thing with AI. It's a hypocrite.
Yeah.
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 It pretends to sound just like
a human.
They're human, but it's like, you're pretending.
Yeah, it's an imitation.
It's an imitation.
And you can kind of tell. And that was the thing is like when the more you use it, like you start to realize. And when you first start using it, it's like, wow.
This is incredible.
This thing is incredible. This thing really thinks and breathes and acts and feels. But then you use it more and more and it's like, I see the patterns coming through.
Patterns of thought, patterns of behavior.
It's trying
Full
your
disclosure,
best.
The first time we did this, I was stumped.
Really?
I did not get it even on a second chance. I didn't get it.
Wow.
I didn't get it right. But this time I was able to.
I think it also helped because they're all three about like one thing. So like the first time it was just three haikus. This time I was like, write a haiku about the wind.
I do feel like that made a difference.
Yeah, because you're comparing them.
Yeah,
true.
That's funny.
Well, that's our game.
Well, Dr. Shah, for today's episode, what is the daily encouragement you want to leave our listeners and our viewers with?
Well, the thing I want to tell people is this is election year. Mm-hmm. And usually, the moment we say that in a Christian context, church context, people immediately change the subject, mm-hmm. or they will start
start to bristle up, get a little uncomfortable. Like,
yeah, and they will say, you know, well, yeah, well, I mean, they kind of start whispering instead of speaking at their normal tone.
That's right.
Because they don't want anybody to find out who they are, what they believe.
Christians are scary people.
Yes.
They're very scary.
Yeah, they're like
spooked over little things.
Like behind closed doors, they're like ready to fight, mm-hmm. take on the world. Yep. But then the moment it comes time to fight, they're like, well, you know, but it, yeah, I mean, you know how I think. You know how I believe. Yeah.
How many times have people said that to you? Like, now, preacher man, I'm going to tell you, you know me. Yeah. You know me. I would have said it. If I had been there, I would have said it.
I knew one guy who would say that all the time. Now, you know me. And I was like,
yeah, I don't. Yeah. You would never say anything.
I said a word.
Yeah, you wouldn't. You would not have said a word.
I mean, God had to help me because I was about to what?
Yeah, it's like you should have said something there. It's like, well, I didn't want to, you know.
Yeah, but you know me. I would have.
You know that.
You wouldn't have.
No, you wouldn't.
I don't know anything of the kind, brother. I don't know why Christians. Why are Christians so scared of sharing their political views?
Because we have been fed the lie that says we have to keep those two things separate.
Mm-hmm.
We have to keep politics and religion separate.
That's right.
And it's a lie. And it's often used by the other side, and sometimes even used by our side because they are misinformed.
Yeah. But you know it's in the Constitution, Dr. Shaw. What?
No, it's not.
What did he say? Separation of church and state. That's the whole thing. I think that's the same thing as the First Amendment,
yeah,
right?
We the people desire the separation of church and state. That's how it starts.
It's in the Constitution, people.
No.
It's really crazy that how many people actually think it's not only it means what they think it means, but that it's in our founding document.
Yeah, yeah. It's not.
100% it's not in the
document. It's not in. I mean, we have done videos on this, help people understand all these things, that it is really a letter written by President Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist, informing them. And in a sense, he's really telling them, I can't interfere in the United States. I can't tell your state not to have a congregational government, about a congregational church.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta work this one out there because the federal government cannot get involved.
Right.
And Thomas Jefferson was anti-federalist.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, as you know, George Washington and that era was the big government, or at least everything under the central government. Jefferson and others came around and said, no, it needs to be the opposite. The limited government is the better government.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so Jefferson began what we know today as the Democratic Republican Party.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in time, it was just the Democratic Party with Andrew Jackson type Jacksonian political views, which if you know your history, American history, you know, it's they were pro-slavery.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so later on came the Whig Party and then came back to the Republican Party, mm-hmm. which was taken from Jefferson's Democratic Republican.
That's
just took the Republican.
That's right.
Just to fight against slavery.
Right.
Yeah. And today's a great day to be talking about the Republican Party.
Yeah, it's significant because today, March the 20th in 1854, is the date that the Republican Party was officially established.
That's true.
Now, there's controversy there.
Really?
Yeah. There is controversy there as to which one is the exact date. So on July 6th, 1854, I found this article where disgruntled voters decided to name its first candidates to fight against the Democrats over this whole slavery issue.
Mm-hmm.
So July 6th is considered to be the date. And then there's also another date which is brought up, February the 24th. When a small group met in Ripon, Wisconsin, to talk about the whole Kansas-Nebraska Act, which was pro-slavery, and they called themselves Republicans.
So there's some controversy over which date might be the actual date.
And then the third one is a meeting was held on March the 20th, which is
today's
date, 1854, which was also in Ripon, where 53 people were recognized this movement within Wisconsin. So that's what I got from this article, that there were possibly three different dates.
So there's a spread across multiple different dates, but it's all happening in that same year, 1854.
Right.
It all kind of coalesces there and things.
10 years or so before the Civil War.
And most importantly, they're all they're all centered around this idea of anti-slavery. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's what the Republican Party was founded on.
Right.
And you're not going to hear that in today's media.
Yeah.
You're going to hear, in fact, the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Right. That this is, and they will say that, yeah, that may be the case, but in the 40s, 50s, there has been a shift where the Democrats have become like the Republicans, and Republicans have become the Democrats.
So it's a great flip flop.
Right, right. This big, this great event that everybody knows of seemingly. Except not really, only the quote-unquote...
It never happened.
Elite,
right.
Yeah, the elite intelligent few know that Southern Democrats of then are Southern Republicans today. Same people, just different names. Yeah, that's what they'll say.
That's not true at all.
Right.
In fact, some of the policies that have been propagated by the Democratic Party still to this day are not in favor of African Americans.
Right.
Or those who are in the minority.
It's not
true at all. But that's the lie that's always propagated, and people buy into that. And if you are not educated, if you're not aware of the issues, I should say, not educated in the sense of getting an education, but if you're not aware of these issues, then you will say, of course, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, parties can flip-flop. So I guess that's what's happened.
Yeah.
Did this rhetoric, that the flip-flopping of the parties, did that have a birthplace or a genesis that we can kind of point to, or is it sort of gradual over time?
That's what is often claimed. So it never happened.
Right.
The flip-flop never happened.
Right.
The party policies are still the same. But the impression that is given is that, oh yeah, don't you know that?
Right.
I mean, these are racist people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, who? Where?
Right.
Okay, that's not true.
Do you think it has anything to do with like wealth? Because people in the Republican Party, I guess, saw the benefits of capitalism and business, they became wealthy. And so because of that, people on the outside say, see, anybody who's wealthy has to have abused somebody in order to get it.
But that's not true at all.
No, I know
there are a lot of Democrats who are extremely wealthy.
Right, but they don't, I guess they don't, they talk bad about capitalism while benefiting from it.
Benefiting tremendously from it.
Yeah, they put down capitalism as the evil that our society runs on. Privately, I mean, it really helps me a lot, but we're not going to talk.
Every advantage of the loopholes and the tax laws and everything.
That's what we call a critical hippopotamus.
What is that?
A hypocrite.
Very nice.
Critical hippopotamus.
Was that, have you used that before?
No, it just dropped into my head right here.
For real?
Let's go ahead and patent that now, Nicholas. If you'll go ahead and call up the patent office. I don't want anybody
using that.
And if you do use it, I want a quarter every time you say it.
There you go. It's a critical hippopotamus.
That was pretty good.
Way to call somebody a hypocrite without to their face.
That was pretty good, man.
Just right here just dropped into my mind.
People ask us all the time, Dr. Shaw, are we a political show? Is Clearview Today, is this a politics show?
Not necessarily. We're just a Christian show.
Right.
We're just talking about values coming from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And if that means that we need to stand for those candidates who support our values, does that make us political? No, I think that makes us a concerned citizen. That makes us people who care about our freedom. So we can worship according to the dictates of our conscience. That's what it makes us.
That's right. That's right. And I'm glad you say that, because there's so many political shows out there that have Christian bent, whereas we're a Christian show who knows the importance of politics.
Right.
And I think it seems like a negligible difference, but it's not. In fact, I think it makes all the difference.
Yes.
Because your Christian identity, your identity as a pastor and as a leader in the community, you understand that because of that, politics can't be ignored. It's not the other way around, where you're a politician and you're trying to be a voice in the world of politics, so I need to pander to Christians.
Well, you think that political policy is not going to impact the way that you worship and the way that you conduct, you know, religious business. You're either intentionally deluding yourself or you're just woefully naive.
Right.
Yeah. 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 Having grown up overseas, I'm beginning to see, and I've been seeing it for several years now, so it's not like beginning like yesterday or this morning, but I've been seeing this for a while, that we are becoming sort of a minority, and not because we are a minority. I think we are a majority. I think there are a lot of people who believe this and feel the same way, but they're afraid to speak out.
Right.
They're afraid to, or some don't even get involved. I mean, 20% of your people vote in the election.
That's bad.
That's terrible.
Shocking. That is sad. That is angering to me. Mm-hmm. That how are we not voting?
Right.
Only 20%.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And it's worse, because it's like, it demands an answer. Like, why aren't people voting? Why aren't people taking this not only as a privilege, but as a duty, as a responsibility? It's not that you get to vote. You should. It's a moral ought. Yeah. You know what I mean? You ought to vote.
Yeah. I can't think of any possible excuse other than like I physically was unable to make it to the polls on that day. But even that, there's plenty of early voting. There's plenty of opportunities for you to more than just the one day to get to the polls.
Mail-in voting.
Yeah. Right. I think you've said it. It just shows where your priorities are.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, the answer is you didn't care. Yeah. And that's why you didn't vote.
Exactly.
I think it's sometimes some people have been disappointed through the years with politicians. Mm-hmm. They've been disappointed with political parties. And I get it. I totally get it, because there have been candidates, there have been people who ran under an agenda or a campaign slogan, but they were not mm-hmm. truly what they claimed to be.
Right.
And so what happened is people fought for them, stood behind them, voted for them, campaigned for them, canvassed for them, and then come to find out, wait, they did that?
Mm-hmm.
Forget it. I don't care anymore. Well, it is what it is. You know what? I'm just going to live my life, and that's it.
Yeah.
But if every generation does that, we're just going to live our life, and that's it. Don't think for a moment that things will be just it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Because things will go downhill, and they have been going downhill for quite some time. In fact, I would say in the past 4 years, it's on a turbo speed.
Yeah, I think it goes back to what we were saying. We either said it earlier this week or last week, but we said, you know, people mistake being passive for being good or being virtuous. If I just do nothing, I can't mess up or I can't contribute to the problem.
Right.
But someone's going to be active when you are passive.
Right.
You
know?
Someone's going to take control.
Yeah.
And it's the people that we don't want.
Right. And I'm aware of people unhappy with that sometimes. I've had to face people who challenged me
mm-hmm.
or call me names or judge my motives. And at first it was very bothersome. I was like, wait, I don't think like that.
Right.
I don't believe that way. I am saying what I'm saying and I mean what I'm saying. And it was very disconcerting for them because I don't look like the person they're describing.
Right.
I said, oh no, you're pretending to be that kind of person. You're trying to ally yourself with those kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're really saying,
oh yeah,
white, middle class, middle aged
mm-hmm.
people.
People in power.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the those.
So even though you're not it, you're still hanging on that. So you get the benefit of what they have to offer.
And these are not like hypothetical conversations either. These are conversations that have happened right here in this building where people will say horrible, horrifying things like this. And it's all disguised as moral virtue. I'm morally superior, and I'm fighting for the little guy, the oppressed.
Yeah, and I want to say you're absolutely ignorant of history or current events. You have an ulterior motive.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to get into some position somewhere, and so you're singing like a canary.
Right.
You're singing the tune that you think those people that will back you up want to hear.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
And you're accusing me when I'm not even running for a position.
Yeah, I'm a pastor of a church.
I'm not even running for a position.
Office. Yeah, I'm a pastor of a church. I have a radio show, but in some way I'm contributing to the moral downfall of the West.
Yeah.
How does this work?
Or running for some position, some power.
Yeah.
Like how? Oh, so the people will come here and give. I'm like, yeah, but they were giving without me even talking about it.
Right.
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 I don't have to do that for them to give.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to do that to attract people. In fact, many times I have to go, is that worth sharing right now? Should I even address that from the pulpit? So I'm not like, let me say as many conservative slogans, Republican slogans, so that people will come flooding into the doors of this church and say, he looks Indian, but he sounds like us, so we should go here.
Yeah, and we should put our money in the offering plate and just
put
it all down at the altar of conservatism with the guise of it being a church.
Because this guy, he's not one of us, and yet he talks like us. That's what we need.
And to insinuate that your goal is something that shallow, that's disrespectful.
Yeah, like what do you get? What do you get out of it?
Right, that's the thing. It's like, well, I'm without it, we're doing great.
Right. Right.
So why should I do that?
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons that we wanted to do this radio show, even like last year. How long have we had this radio show? About a year and a half, going on 2 years now.
Yeah.
One of the reasons that we wanted to do it is because it can get tricky to speak convictions like that from the pulpit. Now, we still do it, and you still speak your biblical convictions, but people feel way more emboldened, I guess, to attack you or to come against you or just to hinder our ministry. But with this radio show, it has allowed us a freedom to speak the truth that God has put on your heart.
Right.
while also garnering support for people who actually listen to the show and actually support us and who do give through the show.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, we want people to give. Yeah. We want people to support. But we want people to understand that this is not a put on. This is not so that we can go back and read my articles. I've been writing this for 20 plus years.
Right.
I'm so sorry that you just found that out,
right.
But I've been writing it for 20 years.
Right.
I've been in the newspaper. I've written articles. In my PhD work, we talked about this some time back, when it came time for me to take my seminars because there was nothing available in the field that I'm in, which is textual criticism, because there was nobody else but me.
Right.
So I was like, what should I take? And I said, you know what? I'm going to take early American history.
Uh-huh.
I did PhD work, not dissertation work, but PhD work in early American history.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I know it.
Right.
So I didn't like read up quick points from some book and it's like, okay, so how can I say things that the conservatives would love me?
Right, right. Yeah, we 100% appreciate every single donation that the Clearview Today Show receives, but we still believe this whether or not you
whether we do. Correct. That's right. We want you to support it. I hope you will, because we want the word to spread.
Yes.
Well, the word is spreading.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, do you want to talk about two of the really, really awesome things that have happened in the near past?
Yes.
Near past?
In the
recent days. In the recent days.
Because you got so excited.
Not wrong, but recent past.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was two really big ones.
One, we got to pray with President Trump.
That's right.
Yeah. This was just not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a phone call from people who said, hey, we would love for you to be there along with these four or five pastors, and well, six altogether. And would you consider doing that? I was like, me?
Do you remember what happened when you got the text? We were eating lunch.
I bit the side of my mouth. Because I was like, huh? And hurts.
Yeah, I was like, hey, what happened? And he was like, oh, hang on one second. And then he pulled the napkin away and he was blood. I was like, oh, he really chomped his lip.
Yeah.
I was like, what happened? And he was like, oh, that hurts. I was like, tell me what happened.
What happened? You're
and
not going
to
believe it.
Yeah, and then you read
I just got asked to pray with President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
And so, of course, went backstage and a lot of security and all these people are everywhere. And it was just amazing. And then we waited, all the pastors, and these are great guys, by the way, great guys. And they even put me in the center and say, hey, let's take a quick selfie. And I was like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
I took a selfie. And then one of the aides came and said, okay, so the president's going to be here in a few minutes and this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. You need to pray. And then we can take a quick picture together with everybody. And I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, he came. And I mean, I was just shocked.
Yeah.
You know, first time to see him
in
live standing there. And then his demeanor was so kind.
Really?
Yeah. Because you see him on the stage.
Right.
You see him on television. You see him debating people. And I mean, he's ready to fight.
Oh, yeah. He's fiery.
And then to see the same man come and say, hey, how are you? Thank you so much for being here. I was like,
wow.
Oh.
Wow.
Not the first impression you were expecting.
No, I was like, oh, I can talk to this guy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Mr. President, we're praying for a great awakening in America, and we believe God's going to bring it, and we believe that God's doing something in our nation, and we're praying for you. We're behind you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
I was like, okay.
Wow.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a great honor.
In the past like month, there have been so many encounters like that, and it's evidence that God is doing something through this show.
Yes.
God is really moving things into place, and I think that's a huge encouragement to me, definitely.
And the freedom of religion is what we're saying.
Yeah,
and that's what we need brought back in our nation, and not underhanded attempts to curtail our freedom or to silence us or to find ways to harass people because they stand up for their faith and their convictions.
That's right. And we want to encourage you guys as well. Share this episode, because these are not just Dr. Shah's convictions. They are Christian convictions. And so what he's standing on is found right in the Word of God. And this show, I'm telling you, I really believe it. Sitting here right now, I really believe God is going to do something huge through this show. It's coming. And it doesn't need to just be us three and the team. And it can be you. You can be part of that as well.
Yes. And one of the ways you do that is by giving and contributing to the show. We tell you how to do this at the end of every episode. But that's how you go from just sitting and consuming the show to becoming part of what God is doing through the Clearview Today Show. That's our prayer for you.
that you would click that donate button on our website, clearviewtodayshow.com, and become part of this movement that got us starting through Clearview Today.
It's not a strange thing. This happens all the time. There are shows that I've watched in the past that I never contributed to. I never gave one red cent. And then they went on to do amazing things. And then I always would think back, because they would say, hey, I want to thank so much the people who got us here, the people who sponsored us, the people who believed in us.
Yeah.
And there have been many times where those companies went on to do great, impactful things for Jesus' kingdom. And I said, man, that could have been me.
Yeah.
I could have contributed to that.
Yes.
That's why we want to say it here at the outset, that it could be you.
Yes. Make sure you visit our website, clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right.
And you can text us if anything in the episode today struck a chord with you, maybe made you think more critically about where you stand on things. Write in and let us know, 252-582-5028. We love hearing from you guys. John, what's coming up on tomorrow's episode?
Tomorrow we are talking about the cost of discipleship. Our salvation is full and free, but it costs Jesus very, very dearly. So also with us, our Christian lives, it's going to cost us. We're going to talk about that a little bit on tomorrow's episode.
Make sure you guys are there. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.